And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy. And Nick, you know the AFL crowds, of course, has been a big issue this week on the
our game of controversy.
Yep. Our game has been a lot of the focus of that, and you know, as discussed in the pod the week before, the sort of the Port Adelaide Richmond record low crowd was 27,000 at the MCG, and we cracked 20 on the
21, I thought it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was high. It was high 20s. I think it was 2,700 or something. But I just would like to pay tribute and full respect. Actually, tonight, Nick, unfortunately, I had a work event and I missed Mr. Club 80, which I've never been to, but that's a supporter group that people go to. It sounds like awesome fun.
I've often that's on my definite bucket list. Especially, yeah. It's not surprised that my big ambition is to go to a draft event for Club 80, but maybe later this year.
Anyway, I was really sad I couldn't go because I just had some work I had to do. And so I've just been reflecting on friendship and Richmond. And, you know, even though it was only 20,000 there on Thursday, and full respect to people who didn't go, everyone had their own reasons, it's a Thursday night. But I went there with some lovely people, and also another person was going to join us, and I won't name them, but let's just call them Londrad Farshall, just for an example, who wasn't there. And you know, one of the other people who had been there had been locked up for weeks because he'd had rolling COVID in his house with his family, and he was finally able to get out. And it was just such a bonding affirmation to be there. And it was like the old days, Nick, you know, when we were crap and we had small crowds. But there was still a beauty to it, and sharing that Richmond brotherhood and sisterhood.
Was there a beauty to it?
Look, you had to be there.
Really?
Look at the.
It looks seriously frustrating on the television.
Well, watching.
I know that's not the point that you're trying to make, but
I was being partly facetious. But you know, I did actually have a good time. And look, you know me, Nick. I'm all about finding the joy in our team. However long this era has to run, enjoy while you know Dusty. Dusty was not brilliant, but he was still in the top five players in the game, according to AFL ratings. Kicked at least one classic goal, probably two classic goals.
Two classic goals, set up several more. Yeah, he didn't have a ton of possessions, but he sort of an extremely high proportion of them resulted in Richmond scores. So,
yeah, there was a squint of it, yeah, and like just other things. You know, seeing some of the classic players do classic things, and Dylan Grimes putting in a, you know, in his 200th, just, you know, sort of retire Robbie Gray. I actually caught up with a Port supporter yesterday, and like, treat this as the over emotional comment of a passionate supporter, but he said, you know, if Robbie Gray had been anything like Robbie Gray used to be, we would have won that game. Now, I don't agree with that, but like
no.
Robbie Gray was a real issue. He did nothing, and he was getting plenty of supply. And Dylan's domination of him, I posted this on Twitter, but there was a crucial moment in the fourth where Port had a run on, and you know, they're really building some momentum. Not that we necessarily believe in momentum, and they won the center clearance, and they got a perfect one out, and Dylan just ran past Robbie Gray and took the checks mark and killed their forward entry stone dead. Like, it just that domination of a matchup, didn't even punch at the ground, is so valuable. So there was a lot of vintage Richmond to like in that game.
There was on an unexpected score, you know, takes into account number of shots and where they're taken from. 40-point win.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. They were jagging them from everywhere. If Shea Bolton was a computer, you'd reset him, because the, you know, everything except for one crucial component was sensational, and then his goal radar, which is normally so accurate, was just completely broken.
There was actually eerie shades to the Tom Lynch game, and you know, they're not two players that get compared often, but he was just was getting shots all the time and was a net through, you know, brilliant, great play, and then was a net negative because he just ridiculously inaccurate.
Well, which is such a shame because we had several instances of, you know, poor hapless defender, one out with Bolton in space, which is just delightful. It's one of my favourite things about this current Richmond team. Yeah, look, it was an often frustrating night, I thought. I mean, kudos to people who went. Hope the AFL is taking the lesson about, you know, Thursday night games when it's not school holidays or before a public holiday, which along with the floating fixture, like, it's just really hard for some fans to be able to attend. And
I'm sure that they'll look at all the options carefully and then attend the Super Bowl next year and then decide what the game needs is more music blaring at people in between goals.
Yeah, and they'll go with whatever the broadcaster wants.
Or introduce another law, which was, funnily enough, the same Port supporter who doesn't hate the stand reason for the same reason we do, because it was introduced to stop our game plan, despises it too because it's so unnatural in a game. Anyway, we digress.
I think it is worth taking a moment because both teams age wise were very mature. It's worth noting Port Adelaide had consecutive seasons where they finished in the top two of the ladder, which we haven't done through this modern era. I mean, for us, it's back to the 1970s to since we've had consecutive seasons as successful as that. And yeah, and you know, they're clearly mid-table team, probably entering a bit of a transition period similar to ours, but just without the bit where you hold up the premiership trophy at the end of the season.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, Nick, do you feel like I almost feel like this week is round one again?
Yeah, there's a bit of that.
Like, don't worry, we'll talk about the game, but I don't know how much we've learnt.
No, we've learnt that our good is good, and when it doesn't work, it can look pretty ugly, which were probably things that we already knew from recent seasons as well.
And like, you can say that about every middling team.
Yeah, I feel like our upside's probably higher, you know, all things considered. But yeah, it's a very good question what we've learned. One thing we've certainly learned in a senior football context is that Judson Clark can finish a nice goal.
Yeah, it bizarre world, George goal kicking that, you know, especially second shot was such a long, confident, penetrating kick. And, you know, part of that is the joy of youth and the lack of...
And he's a really nice left foot kick.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, there is, you know, guys in their first game often do kick well for goal. And but, yeah, he's a beautiful kick. He showed a bit. I thought he... I mean, you can see it on the replay. I watched the fourth quarter again just to sort of get a feel for it unemotionally. And, yeah, he was struggling by that stage and it was wet. And, you know, he didn't do a few things that you need. Like, he showed his youth, right? And he showed his lack of size.
He did, and he got shrugged a few times. But I thought, you know, certainly his quality disposal. He shows up in the defensive running stats as well as having done a power of work, which I think the coaches would be pleased with. So, yeah, it was definite proof of concept, I thought.
Well, let's keep it rolling with, by the way, one thing we should also talk about with the game is, like, to go along with the other 40 point, the fact there was a 40 point win on the expected shots, the other thing in our defense was Port have the age profile of a premiership team.
They do.
Like, I mean, we're old too, but on blokes who put that, we actually have more blokes under 50 games than they did. Neither of us have a lot, but like they, Port have the profile of a team that's going to be highly competitive. So this sort of, you know, you shouldn't go into a game like that expecting you're going to blow a team off the park, particularly if you have bad goal kicking luck. Anyway, that said, I wanted to tag on to the Judson thing, which is the other great white hope, is obviously Gibkus. Interesting game for him, bit up and down, but how did you read it?
Probably his worst game defensively, I thought.
Fair.
I think it's the only time where he's had an opponent consistently get on top of him in the one-on-one matchups with Marshall. But, you know, even in amidst all of that, for him, look, he got a pretty soft free kick up forward, but that was a very nice finish.
So, sort of, you know, I brought it up when we drafted him. Some bloke called Matthew Richardson's brought it up in some podcast he does. The him playing forward issue. What are you? I was probably a bit irrationally overconfident about it, and it was, you know, because I wanted it to be true when we drafted him. I was probably already too high on it, but if I was probably had realistic expectations, my hopes would have gone up based on the last few weeks. Like, they're not super high, but I definitely think there's a window here. Where are your sort of hopes about the Gibkus as the forward issue?
Look, it's too early to tell about how, you know, how he positions himself in order to, you know, get himself free, get, you know, consistently win the ball on the lead. You know, can he take contested marks forward? But, and on a sample size of two, he's finished impressively both times. So I think the question, if he got the ball forward, could he kick goals? The answer is a lot more convincing than anything you would have ever expected from Darren Gasper or Duncan Galloway, for instance, who really did kick like defenders. But yeah,
it's very early days, but I like where he puts him, how he contests, and where he puts himself, and that gives me. That's why I now have a little bit of empirical evidence to go with the irrational optimism of him potentially doing that. So that was definitely, I mean, it's only two young guys really that we've got in the team, but that is...
Well, and Hugo Rasmuth as well, who I thought...
That's true. That's true. And he's still callow enough to be considered genuinely young, and who unfortunately had a negatively rated game.
Yeah, which is I thought he tried hard without it quite being his day, unfortunately.
Yeah, so and by the way, just I would have lost my like I was so keen for us to use this sub, and you know, I've genuinely concluded in the way Demo talked about afterwards that we genuinely don't use the sub except unless someone's injured.
I know, there's which always that.
Which is completely against my cynical expectations, but yeah, it appears to be. You know, Port got in front in a crucial moment in that game, and you know, I would have lost my mind had we like I would have all for something Soldo or someone else for Lambert moment. But yeah,
it was a difficult game for the Soldo maniacs.
It wasn't without hope, so I'd just like to. Like, I think at this point I do have to acknowledge that we have people in our life who like nothing better than sending me gifts of Soldo doing something incompetent.
Yeah, having the ball sail over his head.
But he did take a nice contested mark. But So it happened again. Like, we absolutely dominated the tap outs, and that meant, like, we're putting a lot of resources into the ruck, I think, to compensate for the fact we're not very good at center clearances. And when we do that, the net we're not very good at our midfield aren't very good at center clearances. So you sort of, the net result is we don't lose games because of the center clearances, because we have lost them when we don't win the ruck earlier this year. And the Carlton will be the really interesting test. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead twice now to the Carlton game, but it'll be a really interesting test to see what we've moved on from round one. And we will have more dominant rucks in next this Thursday.
Yeah, with Pinochet out and Tom De Koning as the ruck, who's, you know, a good athlete, but sort of not a particularly imposing ruckman.
No, a little bit undersized. Anyway, so the point of this week is we didn't dominate through the center square, but we also didn't lose the game because of it. And generally, if we don't lose the game because of the clearances, we will win it because of turnovers. So it's working at the moment. It's worked against all the sort of mediocre to bad teams. The two rucks is enough in combination with our center square work to get us over the line. But Carlton will be the really... That's the big it's a big test in so many ways, and it will also be a big test for the two rucks. Also, with Lynch back with a more conventional forward setup, can Soldo keep kicking goals again? Because low sample size, but Soldo has kicked more goals when Lynch has been playing. Nick, you muted.
Yeah, he's... Can the ruckman switch into the forward line question, I think, is still an unanswered question. Like, assuming Tom Lynch is back in the team this week, you know, how do we line up? Do we continue with the two rucks?
I think what we'll do is we'll play two rucks, but like, we're playing Soldo bugger all time, and I think when Tom Lynch was there, we played him even less, and that's what we'll do. But we'll roll him through as a third fourth pocket. But would be my guess. We'll go with that structure till it stops working. But Nick, I think we've gone long enough here. We do have to acknowledge Liam Baker's amazing goal, which is, I think, our only goal that came directly from a great tap.
it was pretty great. Well, and the fact that he was best on ground on the coach's votes. It was a pretty fair effort too.
Yeah, three shots a goal, 10 contested possessions, 5 clearances, and 13 in the highly contested last. So, magnificent game. He's had many good ones, but that would, I think, be in his top 3 or 4 Richmond games.
Yeah, he's I'm certain he's top 5 in the best and fairest. I feel like... when we get to this part of the show each week, where we've sort of talked about all the novelties and the young players and the injuries, when we get to the real meat and potatoes of who's played well, we almost always mention Liam Baker.
Indeed, I think there's a bit of bias here that because he had his best quarter in the last, where he had 8 disposals, but Jack Graham was amazing again with the pressure points, but I thought the game suited him, and he had 10 tackles as well. Really well rated game on sort of the advanced metrics. So you know, that was one of his better games from the year and should be acknowledged. I thought Flossie, along with Graham, Grimes, was a great interceptor and had.
Flossie is very quietly having a career best season statistically.
10 intercepts this week.
Number one in the AFL in intercepts per game. He's going very well.
Yeah, nice one. And just while we're rolling through the background, our second highest interceptor was a bloke called Robbie Tarrant. Yeah, I mean, there was a moment, and I think if you look, it's 14-11 in the last quarter. I just took a note of it. Like, he still runs like he's got legs and concrete bricks. But there was a moment where there was a long ball into the back line, and the commentators didn't call it, but Tarrant saw it from a long way out, and he just walked back with it with the eyes on it, didn't flinch at all, and just marked it. And anything could have hit him. And it was a long, long ball in the place where lots of people around. And it was just, he did not flinch. Mm. And it was sort of, it was like, that is a brave, experienced professional center halfback. And I got him, that guy is, yeah, he's whatever else, he's a dude, if you know what I mean. Like that kind of thing, the way he didn't even flinch, that will get noticed by other professional footballers on his team.
I think that when we get to the end of the season, and we're very fond of coaches' votes, of best and fairest votes as a measure of performance. I think the difference in his votes per game from before he was dropped / managed to since he's come back in the team is it's going to be noticeable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm inclined to agree.
Jaden Short, I think, is going pretty well. I think it's trickier against the teams with the better midfielders, but he's still number one in both kicks and meters gained for the whole competition.
Yeah, and had 11 contested possessions, so is not it is still been highly useful.
And a weapon when he kicks it, like going pretty well.
Actually, interestingly, sorry to quit quoting this Port guy, but he's quite a good football. He just likes interesting here from a different perspective. He was waxing lyrical about how good Rioli was. And how much his running was, and how good his running was, and how he was absolutely turning Motlop into a bit of burnt crispy toast.
we talked a while back about Rioli was going well, but he needed to get better in one-on-one marking contests. And he outmarked Motlop on several occasions. Like, yeah, it was a... maybe not his flashiest performance, but it was very solid.
Now, I don't want to go through everyone on the team because, you know, let's face it, important bonding, we were there moments aside. It wasn't the greatest game. But was there anyone else you wanted to highlight?
Oh, look, hats off to the sheer amount of effort that Jack is still putting forth. In these games where he's the sole marking target. Like, he certainly didn't dominate, but he played well and he did a power of work, I thought.
You can see why watching that game, why he was so keen for Lynch to join the team.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But, yeah, no, it was a game we had to win. It was a game where... could have been a lot more relaxing, but sadly wasn't. But yeah, no. Take what we can and move on, I reckon.
Indeed. Like, take the win and move on. So unfortunately our VFL team can't say that because they very much...
Before we talk about the VFL...
Oh, sorry.
Just wanted to mention, weirdly enough, today was the first day of the AFLW pre-season. Great to see them out on punt road again. But yeah, still weird. The BFLW finals competition is wrapping up and they're starting the next season. Like it's inevitably going to be weird with the transition to the new time for the season. But yeah. Yeah, nice to have them back anyway.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, because, you know, when your team doesn't make the finals and you know you're not going to make the finals a few weeks out, you kind of, the season feels shorter, even shorter than it was. So it's actually probably not that big a difference to the standard. I'd have to do the math on this, but the standard gap in the men's season, once you take that into it.
You're probably right.
Into account, but I completely agree with your meta point, and I think we're done fairly well out of the off season thus far.
No, it could have been a lot worse. I don't know that the top clubs have lost have lost enough to even things up, but from a Richmond point of view, yeah, we've escaped pretty well, almost entirely unscathed, I'd say.
Indeed. So let me return to my awkward transition to the VFL.
Yeah.
Where
so they played on a Wednesday night. Like if
yep,
there's one thing more miserable than AFL on a random Thursday night, it's random VFL on Wednesday night.
And a game where I think they were down by 50 points at three-quarter time.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched about half the game, and it was striking both for the players who played well and the players who didn't play well. Yeah, there were some high-profile players in both categories. But, yeah, have you seen Samson Ryan play a better game of football?
Yeah, and you said you weren't going to bring this up, but I'm going to force. So he did have 40 hit-outs. We dominated them overall. And he was against a proper 200-centimetre guy who was almost on an AFL list.
Toby Conway.
But he had 13 23 disposals as well. I think it was Steve Morris who wrote it, but the VFL report, the coach's report, was very, very positive about it.
He looked great on the eye test.
I can't go there. I'm not going to express opinion, but do you think he deserves a shot this week?
It was the first time I've wondered that, honestly. Sorry, Sam Conway. He plays another game or two like that, you know, where he's just relentlessly like it should be noted that he was rucking almost all day, like with Mate Kalina making his debut up forward, which other than a pretty spectacular contested mark in the start of the first quarter that led to a handball off to Rioli for a goal, which was pretty stunning. You know, he frankly struggled in his debut, but having him as a marking target...
There was a bit of shades of GWS kicking the first goal of the 2019 grand final in that one.
Yeah, but it did mean that Samson Ryan didn't have to spend as much time as a key forward, and he really stepped up with the spending more time in the ruck and working his opponent over. I was really impressed.
I mean, the downside of that, of course, is that what we really need is a guy who's a more competent forward.
You can't have everything.
But yes,
Ben Miller was very good offensively as a key back. Like whatever light has come on in terms of his reading the play and making himself available continued. If he did get it marked a few times, I thought Jack Ross did a power of work, even if his disposal was a bit shaky at times.
And perhaps what is a slightly backhanded compliment was clearly our best midfielder.
That wasn't all that. Well, honestly, Samson Ryan was our best midfielder. When he had six clearances and when the ball hit the ground, he just kept working relentlessly hard, I thought.
Okay, our best AFL-listed midfielder.
Yeah, the best actual midfielder. Almost finishing off on the positives, although Maurice Rioli Jr. had his moments, but I really like Tom Brown. Down back, he's still not dominating the game, but he's doing more good things, and he looks like an AFL player. Like he's athletic, he's composed. He's tracking pretty well at the moment. Jason Castagna, not bad. his usual George self, I thought.
So I think I don't want to go through all the list of players who didn't play very well, but
there's a few, unfortunately.
Both Riles and Dow when we're coming up in a week where we really would love a bit of extra ammunition in the midfield, centre square ammunition, and both of them playing.
Both of them didn't play well. Yeah.
Yeah. Disgracefully. Yeah. Well, not disgracefully, but yeah, just really disappointing.
Yeah. Jake Arts and Sydney Stack both struggled to get involved, unfortunately. Actually, something. Another positive to take out of the game, Jacob Bauer when we drafted him in the mid-season draft, I mentioned about how he was, he was averaging nearly 3 goals a game off only 8.5 disposals a game in the SANFL. He doesn't that very much continued in the VFL. He's not a big ball winner. But gee, he takes his chances, and he had 3 very nicely taken goals in the last quarter, which is like it's a fine line to tread if you're not winning the ball very much. But if you kick goals, certainly something to work with there.
Indeed, we had 7 AFL listed players with less than 10 disposals, and he was one of them. But he's the one, as you say, you'd probably forgive. And Kalina, in fairness, playing his first one. All right. Disappointing game. Hopefully they bounce back next week. Now, look, I've now referred to this a couple of times, but I just think Thursday is a really huge game for us. So indicative of the progress of the team.
Oh, look. Sort of every game is both. A referendum on the season, but also a snapshot of some very specific factors like Dusty's under a cloud with illness, Chera may not play. It's tricky. The betting line for this game has already swung back and forth a bit. Carlton were favourites a week ago. We were reasonably solid favourites until it looked like Dusty wasn't going to play. Yeah, I don't know. How are you feeling about it?
Weirdly confident. I mean, partly based on Dimmer said that Dusty was doubtful, which actually has quite a specific meaning in injury report terms. But it doesn't, like, he's sick. He said that on a Tuesday, and he's already been unwell and he's got 2 days to get better, and it's Dusty, so he can probably play if he's 70%. So I'm weirdly confident or hoping that Dusty will play, and then I just think we lost last time because we got absolutely dominated in the centre square, and surely that can't happen again, because that kind of domination is really rare in the AFL. So that makes me more confident. And Prestia was injured, so I'm really worried that we might lose that way again. But the sort of the return of Prestia, a potentially more dominant ruck division, and having Lynch and Jack playing, and sort of a fairly functional and high functioning key forward and key back group, hopefully we can handle the return of McCabe. So yeah. I'm weirdly confident. How are you feeling?
Oh, nervous. Extremely nervous. So Carlton's record flatters them. Like, they're 9-3 with a percentage of 114, and one of those things isn't that win-loss record is being flattered by a 4-1 record in games under 15 points. So, they're clearly a better team than they were. Sam Doherty coming back and playing really well is a big story. Charlie Kuno leading the Coleman and clearly having his best season after managing 15 games across three seasons is a big story. If it wasn't Carlton, these would be heartwarming stories, but, they were down for a long time, but as Richmond supporters, they can never be down long enough. So, yeah, they're a really unusual team with just these huge strengths, like McKay and Kuno forward, Walsh and Cripps in the midfield. Doherty, Newman and Saad win a lot of ball off half back. They've got a few role players who are probably, Lewis Young has been surprisingly competent. Mitch Owies is number one in the AFL in tackles inside 50 and occasionally kicks a goal. They've got some strengths. No team in the AFL wins more football than they do, and they're the number two clearance team. So, yeah, but they also have some weaknesses. Like they're not a great tackling team, and good teams have been able to get a hold of them at times. So, yeah, I don't know. If we're going to win it, where are we going to win it?
I think we do also just have to acknowledge that George Hewitt
is playing pretty well.
He's actually playing lights out. And you may recall in our round one preview that I was like, I poo-pooed him. And
just another anonymous recruit from another club for a team that's had too many of them.
Yeah, but no, he's actually he's top 10 AFL rated this season. Yeah, he's not. He's the second best player. I wonder if there's a bit of he's missed a few games, so I wonder if there's a bit of a variance because that's an average per game measure. But he's definitely competent. I mean, where we win is the turnover game, right? And we did win large passages of the round one game, and we've gone back to a lot more of that turnover meterage gained, which now Dimmer has said publicly, but the shift has been obvious for a while. So sort of that traditional game plan has given them trouble. Our key forwards will trouble their backs with the injuries that they have. So,
Who do we play on their key forwards?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm trying to remember what we do round one. And round one was so long ago, and like Bolter presumably will now play back because they've got...
He played back round one.
Yeah, and I just think Gibkus last week, we're not going to... I think Dimmer's had enough of trying Gibkus out on A-grade forwards.
And we don't play him right at... We tend not to play him in the very deepest fullback position, so we keep him away from McKay. Kuno's leading the Coleman medal, so you probably want to keep him away from him as well. So yeah, I mean, Bolter on or maybe Tarrant on McKay, Bolter on Kuno, or some combination thereof. Because on Jack Silvani doesn't bother me at all.
No. But that'll Gibbs will be interesting. I reckon he'll probably play forward and back again this week.
Well, there's less need for him forward, presumably with Lynch back. But yeah, that'll be one to watch.
Yeah, that's fair. And a little bit of Wilds. Selection speculation. I suspect they'll play Lambert and potentially drop Ralph Smith, or maybe they could swap Shedder and Lambert as
sub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as their roles.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I think Judson deserves another go with the two goals.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you got to give him two games to sort of reward that first quarter, and not forgetting Rouse Smith was one of, in fact, our best against Sydney.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His first quarter against Sydney was sensational.
So I think you've got to take the long view and back in the high variance use. The Lambert for Edwards actually seemed quite a fair shift.
Yeah. Look, apparently Jack's got a finger injury that he's been playing with, but you know, we've seen Jack play through innumerable injuries, it feels like, over the years. So yeah, I don't know.
I don't think Jack will want to miss this one.
No, it's a really big game. We've got a lot easier games on the schedule in the second half of the year, so it's not do or die, but oh, it sets up the season beautifully if we do win.
Yeah, we want it to be close and competitive at least.
Oh no, we want to win. Sod that.
Oh no, of course that, but like, I mean, just the way it wasn't the margin. Like you can construct on the round one, you can construct lots of ways. Like it wasn't that bad. Painful. Yeah, but the manner in it happened, it was don't want that again. Anyway, completely agree. I'm looking forward to it going. Yet another very cold Melbourne night, but it's exciting. It's big game football. It's two traditional rivals playing on the biggest stage. It's going to be great.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
It starts with a vision. If we're not locked into that, might as well pack up and go home.
You're talking about three flags by 2020. Fitzroy has paid him off miles on you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010. Carmichael Hunt. Pick up Jeffrey. He does. Carlton are off their way to Sydney.
Westcott could kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Coming to slow. He's gone. No free kick, surely.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Tigers.